We're live now.
Hello, welcome on Twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv. Not anymore.
Ooh, that's live though. Justin.tv.
We're not there either.
We live.
OBS has issues with ASIO drivers.
Now live.
Now live at a podcatcher near you.
What's the one that YouTubers use or used to use before YouTube did live streams?
Ustream. Not me live.
Anyways, welcome to episode
106
of the Livecast. I am your host, Gregory Fernandez, and joining me is, to my left, we have Dan.
Hello.
Adam.
Hi.
And Deanna.
Hi.
So things are changing. We're making moves, changing our strategy. And right now, we're just kind of playing around with the host, seeing how it goes and seeing how it feels, that sort of thing.
It feels good. It feels organic.
Yeah. So I think for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be just messing around, seeing who's hosting, who's feeling it, who's not feeling it, yada, yada. So this week, it's me, Greg.
Hello.
You might know me from my very many rants about Overwatch and their butts. Anyways,
pretty much.
You sure you want to put that as your one defining?
Yeah, on my Twitch bio, it says Greg Fernandez, Dungeon Master, Black Dude, really mad about Overwatch butts in particular.
That's the hill you
want to
die on.
That's the hill I'm
going to
die on.
Like, I mean, to be fair, we discuss Overwatch butts on at least five.
We have. That is like 20%. No, not 20.
The live cast.
I forgot we had 100 episodes. I thought we had five.
That's 100% of the episodes we published.
No, it's because, well, first of all, it feels really good to be like on mic again because we haven't done this in like a full week or two.
And even before, I was sick 2 weeks ago, and then the week before, Kennedy did it instead of me. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done a podcast in like 3 weeks more.
Doesn't it feel weird?
Yeah, it feels weird.
We've been doing this for, no fucking lie, at least 2 years.
Yeah. Like straight.
And it just feels
and there
very
was
weird.
The Suffolk VJ one before that.
Yeah,
the
what? So
like the VJ. Oh, the podcast that shall not be named.
I feel like this is actually like, that was like the longest break from podcasting I've had in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Which is weird to think about.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways.
Take us away.
So generally, what we like to start off is we talk about the things we've been doing recently. Dan, if you could please, what you been up to?
A bunch of shit. I've been looking for jobs frantically.
It's hard. It's so hard.
Glassdoor is based, though.
Glassdoor? Okay.
Glassdoor is based.
What's is that the one that gives you reviews on places you're applying to?
Okay. Oh, okay.
So it's like a job application site?
Yes.
I think the last job I had, this is a fun little anecdote, it had no reviews on Glassdoor, but I applied for it anyway, and I got it, and I got depression.
There is now a 100% correlation between non-reviewed jobs and depression. So you heard it here first, kids. Do not apply to any place with zero. That's cool.
Yeah,
and
do your
super
research.
Useful. Hmm. Yeah.
And other than that, I've just been fucking, I don't know. I played Horizon for a little bit the other day.
Hey.
I think I'm done.
Oh.
Like, it's good.
I mean, like Horizon. Yeah.
It's good, but it's just like, I think I've taken in enough of it.
Okay. And if you're going to play an open world game right now, like, it should probably be God of War or something, right? Like, if you're going to play that game, like, it should probably be God of War and not Horizon.
I mean, I've been playing God of War. I don't know if I would, maybe I haven't gone to the point where it opens up. I don't know if I would entirely call it an open world.
Well, I don't know.
It's super linear so far.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard about it.
Okay.
Which I'm totally fine with. I prefer linear games.
I mean, for sure. I do too.
But there are some points where it's like, oh, this is like, it's almost like too linear because you're outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
oh, yeah.
And like the way, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've grown used to the open world games because it looks like Horizon, the environments look like Horizon. But then you just go straight.
Yeah.
And so there is that like that bit of a disconnect. But
how are you enjoying the like no camera cuts, quote unquote?
The no camera cuts?
Yeah. It's supposedly like one fluid thing.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was everyone's like, because I was listening to Waypoint Radio before God of War came out. I was also listening to the Giant Beastcast, and they were like, yeah, it's one like fixed angle. It doesn't have any cuts, quote unquote. It doesn't have any like loading screens.
Yeah, I never really noticed it until now. Yeah, they even like during the cutscenes, like there's like this weird shaky cam thing that they do, and it looks all right. It's definitely not the most egregious offense of shaky cam. But, like, even, like, while you're playing the game, the shaky cam is still, like, semi-present. Like, the camera is never entirely still. And while I never noticed it, I guess subconsciously I did, because the second you mentioned it, I knew exactly what you were talking about. That being said, so far, impressions very good. When I first saw this game at E3, whenever the hell it debuted, probably 2 years ago now. 1 year?
40 years ago. Like, with Sony
Strikers. I think it was 2 years ago. And then they did, like, a full demo last year.
Yeah.
And at that point, they'd already been working on the game for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the few that wasn't announced 20 years before it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember when I first saw it, I was, like, not impressed. I think I ended up giving it my, like, my game of E3, like, unwilling. I was kind of sad about it. I was like, you know, nothing really grabbed me. I know that was like a big year with Shenmue and Final Fantasy VII,
but
like,
I don't
give a shit about.
I don't give a shit about any of those games. So, yeah. Like for me, it was like, I guess God of War. Maybe it'll be interesting because he's got the kid or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Now that I've played it, I'm like super all into it. The gameplay is surprisingly satisfying. It looks very basic, looks very simple, but there's like a lot. There's actually a lot to it. It's surprisingly deep. And your boy loves deep gameplay. Played it on hard. I got fucking trashed by the first fight in the game. I legit spent like 15 minutes on the first fight because they don't tell you what the block button is.
Oh, good.
So it's like,
This is a game for me.
Well, they do, but it's like, okay, so what ends up happening is like you're just walking down the street with your kid.
The street?
Yeah, the street.
Come, Atreus, we need milk from the store.
So you're walking down the street with your kid, and then a Draugr? Yeah, Draugr shows up, and it just says, like, you know, the on-screen tutorial thing that modern games have. It says, press R1 for light attack, R2 for heavy attack. So how the game works is that every enemy will just eat up your light attacks and continue attacking. So I'm on hard mode, I die. I'm like, dude, so I'm trying to hit him with light attacks, and then he just kills me over and over again. And then dudes keep coming. So it took me like a solid 15 minutes until I learned that not only could you block, but there's like a parry if you block at the right timing. And what the sort of thing that makes it feel really good is that you can parry at like any point in your combo. So you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for cooldowns or nothing. You could literally, like, if you time it right, you could get like your heavy swing, like a frame before the enemy hits you, and then immediately parry. Like there might be like a small window, but it seems like almost instantaneous. So, like, it's perceivably instantaneous. The second you put out your block, it's there. It'll immediately stop all of your animations, and you are now blocking. And so you can just like parry. You can even dodge roll. I don't know if your dodge roll has iframes. It certainly feels like it does. But yeah, no, it's just super fluid, and the sort of fighting with the kid.
Boy.
The boy. Yes, boy. Fucking. let's talk about Kratos' voice.
Okay.
Kratos' voice is like.
Go on.
This dude literally sounds like he's gargling molasses. he sounds like Solid Snake in that, like, he's so cool and. He's equal parts cool and dumb, where it's just like, boy, what are you doing? Like, he legit sounds like someone putting on a voice that no one would ever sound like in real life, and I totally dig it. It's great. It really sets the. But the very interesting thing about this game is just how sort of dope the story is so far. It's just sort of very emotional and very just focused. The linear, you know, structure lends it to that, but it's just like every like piece of dialogue so far has seemed like important. There's like no throwaway things. There's like the only thing that could be considered a little bit throwaway is like when Kratos makes like a nod to the older games or something. Like someone mentions the Fates and he's like, nothing good could come from them, and I'm like, oh, I know that because God of War too. But yeah, other than that, yeah, no, I'm like super into it so far. The all aspects of it have me enthralled. It's a very one of my favorite things is that it's a very personal story. It's just Kratos and his son have something they need to do, and it's not like this big, maybe it'll become this big thing, but so far right now it's a very intimate small story, and which is like so weird compared to like the series route. So I'm sure it'll get crazy at some point, but right now it's just like very small, very quaint. And you really have to earn the have to earn the brutal kills in this game. In the last one, it was just like you're fighting a big enemy, press circle, and they hit low health. But this one, you have to like build up a stun meter. And it makes actually getting the brutal kill significantly more satisfying because you have to earn it, and they're just as brutal, if not more brutal, than they used to be. So, yeah, that's really all I got to say about God of War.
I would like to do a thick thoughts on God of War because I'm planning on playing it after I finish Yakuza 6, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
I do want to pick it up eventually, just whenever I have the money to buy it, because I got really interested in it after everyone was saying it was, like, immaculate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely biggest surprise. I came in this year like, oh yeah, God of War, it's gonna whatever. Be whatever. Yeah, especially like, sure. the gameplay doesn't look impressive. It definitely plays a lot better than it looks, for sure. So it's definitely something. If you're listening and you're like, you've been watching people play it and you're like, this gameplay looks nothing special. Yeah, it really doesn't look anything special. It's you really have to get your hands on it to kind of understand like what's happening. But yeah, that's really all I got to say about that. What else have I been up to? Nothing much, really. What about you, Adam? What you been up to?
I also started to do the whole job search thing. A lot of it's really fucking depressing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have signed up for a few websites now, and I have searched journalism into all of them, and it's like, senior editor, it's like, all of it is like...
entry level, 3 to 5 years experience wanted.
Like, yes, no. Not even. So, like, senior editor positions are like 10 years wanted. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's rough. It's depressing right now. Yeah. It's definitely getting me down. But I've been playing some stuff. The two big things I'd say were Ni No Kuni 2. I played through the entirety of that. Because it's been like a month since we've been on the podcast, yeah. I managed to play a whole JRPG. And I played a game called Minute. But I'll talk about Ni No Kuni first. So I really loved the first Ni No Kuni. It was really charming and like just special. So immediately when I played this game, I noticed the lack of Ghibli animated cutscenes. It's all 3D, just flat cutscenes. I don't really want to say that.
Yeah.
But they definitely use their in-game models. There is no special animation for it. And that was kind of like, huh, that's a bummer. Also, there's fucking guns in this Ni No Kuni game. What? I would also like to mention. There's fucking guns. Okay. So you start off and it's a cutscene and you're the president of the United States. And there's a terrorist attack, and you fucking die, and you go to the Ni No Kuni world, and the dude has a gun.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm serious. Yeah. That's how this game starts, and I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
But
are you 100%?
I'm not lying
serious?
To you. This game yeah, starts with you in a fucking limo crossing the bridge to what seemingly is either the George Washington Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge or something. You are in New York. And you're in Ni No Kuni, New York. Yeah. And
New Donk City.
You're in New Donk City during the year of Luigi when he was elected president. You play as Luigi.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Yeah, no, you go to Fantasy Ni No Kuni World where there's a bunch of fucking cat people and they're overthrowing Ding Dong Dell. Fucking throws you into I don't want to say anything more about the story, but I'll get down to the nitty gritty of this game. It is a lot of things. It is a action JRPG. It is a kingdom world building simulator. It is a
you're making faces
RTS weird thing. I think those are the three big things, and it seems like it never gets to a point of focus, and it's trying to juggle these three game modes around a lot, and really the only ones that are fun are like the actual like third person combat and the kingdom builder. So they have this game mode where I'll try to explain it. It uses the Fire Emblem Weapons Triangle, and it's like this like top down almost thing where you control armies.
Oh.
And you're a commander. Okay. They call it skirmishes, I think.
Okay.
And you're a commander. You're Evan. You're a little 5-year-old Evan commanding fucking armies.
Yep. God, I wish that were me.
Right. And you pick four armies to control, and each one presumably is a different weapon type. There's sword units, lance units, axes, daggers, magic.
Oh, and so it's like straight up Fire
Emblem. So it's like straight up Fire Emblem. And how it works is you control them with like the bumpers. You're like moving around and like you put your sword units in front of you, and then you fight your axe people, you fight them. But you're not doing any of the combat. It's all auto combat. You're just walking towards them. And sometimes you're pressing square to be a little stronger. And it never adds anything to the game. It seems like they try to do it in this way where they want it. They do it in moments where they want scale for like big fights, not against one enemy, against lots of people. And it never hits the mark. It always feels like a slog. I'd rather literally fight all of them by fucking just fighting them normally. It just seems like this weird throwaway thing. And I was always kind of disappointed when
that Meanwhile, came the last game was about a boy whose mother dies while he's young, and he goes into the sort of the astral plane, effectively, to sort of find her soul and try to bring her back to life. That's the story of the first game. Yeah. Meanwhile, this one is you're the president of the United States, and you got hit by a terrorist. That's
Jesus.
Oh, I should also say. So,
did you have a picture of Sonic and Shadow on your desk too?
Yes, you did. I also want to say that Evan, the boy, his father is the one who gets assassinated in the beginning of the Nino Kuni world. And he wants.
So you get assassinated. You go to Ni No Kuni world. You're Evan now.
You're Evan.
And then your father gets assassinated.
No,
you're not
Evan. You're Roland. You're the president of the United States that goes into the Ni No Kuni world. You meet Evan.
Yeah, Roland.
And there's Roland. He's the president. And actually, I never really made that connection. And Evan, his father just got assassinated. He was the king of Ding Dong Dell. He got thrown over by cats. There's a big feud between cat people and mice people.
Is he like the cat from the first game? Like the big fat cat that was super lazy to give him his heart back. Also, you fix people's hearts in the first game.
Yeah, no. You do
that's what
that.
You did. People were sad or they were lonely, and then you fixed their hearts.
That was what the first game was.
Yeah, like, I don't want to say Ni No Kuni is bad. It's just...
Is this on PS Now or something, the first one, so that I could play it?
Yeah, so I'm fairly sure it's on PlayStation Now. The first one's like really incredible.
Yeah, because I'll probably do RPGs. That instead of playing Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah, it also goes on sale for like $5 all the time.
Yeah. Oh, shit,
That being said, you also don't need to play 1 to play 2.
They're
in no way connected
instead of Ding Dong Dell.
Yeah, 1 is the one to play, for sure. Yeah. This one just seems, it's really weird. It's like they're trying to do a lot of these things. They have all these systems in place. That I could probably explain to you for the next 5 hours, but there's a lot of things in this game that take away from its main thing, which should be the combat and the kingdom thing, because how it works is he gets overthrown and they overthrow the king, overthrow, because Evan's the next in line, they overthrow him, they throw him out, and he wants to create his own kingdom. So
as you do.
So how it works is it's just this kid trying to go around and making peace with all the surrounding areas.
Oh, okay.
Seeing like, oh, will you help me make my kingdom and stuff like that?
Yeah, and that's where the kingdom building comes.
Yeah,
into
that's where the
play.
And that stuff makes a hell of a lot of sense. Yeah. In the story, but
like the, I don't know,
the skirmish like, is clan like battle, yeah, the clan like the, granted they're few and far between, but they never were.
Okay.
Side quests are generally a slog. Because you need to do all the side quests to get citizens for your kingdom. And before you finish the game, you need to have your kingdom at level 3. So I got to the last mission, and then it's like, wait, you need your kingdom at level 3 before you can do this, because in order to make the sword, we need the level 4 swordsman fucking place. I'm like, so it added an extra like 10 hours to my game.
Oh, God.
I don't want to say this game is bad.
It's the mementos just not, all over again.
Yeah, it was literally the mementos all over again for me. Why? I have to stop ignoring side things in JRPGs.
The fucking padding.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be there, JRPGs.
No, it doesn't need to be there.
You don't have to pad your games out.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I more or less enjoyed my time with this game.
Okay.
I think it's incredibly unfocused, and I think it could have used way less. And it wasn't even like a long game. It's not like I was doing anything interesting with these systems. They were just there, and I was using them. I was not doing anything interesting with them. They were just there for stuff. For whatever reason, they were just there. They did not add anything to the game. But like other than that, it's like a cute little fairy tale. It goes some nice places. The voice acting gets a little annoying sometimes. There's some interesting areas. Like one is called Gold Paw. It's a bunch of dog people, and
all gold dog boy.
Yeah, and they make all of their laws and decisions on the statue in the middle of the town that rolls a dice that's called Lady Luck or something like that. And they make all their decisions based on what number they get. They're actually like a pretty cool town.
Don't like that.
There's some neat little things there. It's just they're few and far between, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd recommend it.
It doesn't sound like you do.
Yeah.
Like, nothing about your tone was like, yeah, play this game.
Like, but it is also coming from the focus of someone who like really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
And like, this is a sequel to a beloved game.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing.
It's, like it's literally nothing like the first one.
If there was a game on its own merits, maybe it's good.
Yeah. Maybe I'd enjoy it a little
bit. It's hard to remove it because,
for sure.
it has the name.
For sure.
It, you know?
For sure. It's definitely like you look at both of them and you're like, where? Is this entire different team?
They lost Ghibli.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, well, we lost Ghibli. You know, they're known for their art and shit. Let's change genres.
Yeah, no, that being said, it's not like Ghibli designed their game. They just made their cutscenes pretty.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and they like probably helped like.
It was probably with, like, that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The Ghibli
like,
energy.
I want to fucking make this game. We signed them up for two and they left.
Yeah.
And the other little game I played, I won't spend time on it, but one I would recommend, it's called Minute.
Yeah.
It's this little top-down Zelda-like classic RPG that you play in 60-second intervals. You go down, you're this little duck thing, and you pick up a cursed sword, and then you die every 60 seconds. But the world retains the progress you've made. And basically, you have to go back to the factory and get rid of your sword because you're mad that it cursed you.
Cool.
And it's really good. I like it. It's very short. It took me like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It does some really neat things with the fact that you only have 60 seconds to do a thing. It plays around in some neat ways. I enjoyed that game a lot.
Cool. So, Deanna.
I've been playing Yakuza 6.
Oh, shit.
I did do some of that, too. It's like the prologue.
It took me, like, a little while to get into it. Because in this game, I don't think this part's a spoiler, but Haruka has a son. And Haruka... Okay, so Kiryu in Yakuza 1 kind of like adopts the woman he loved has a daughter. She's an orphan because mother can't take care of her. So Kiryu adopts her and starts an orphanage, and that's what happens in pretty much Yakuza 0. No, not Yakuza 0. Yakuza to Yakuza 5. So it's like him dealing with like trying to separate these kids from his Yakuza past.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's just...
And then in Yakuza 6, right at the end of Yakuza 5, Haruka's like on her way to becoming an idol. But at a concert, she's like, no, I value my family more than this, even though this is my dream. So Kiri's like about to die, like in the street because he's been stabbed or something. She finds him, takes him to a hospital, and they arrest Kiryu. Kiryu goes to jail for 3 years. And in that time... Haruka runs away. She ends up getting pregnant, having a kid. And Kiryu finds her after she's been, like, the victim of a hit and run, basically. So, naturally, he steals the kid from the hospital and tries to find the father. That's chapter one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That is yeah, where sorry. I am. I only did the prologue because it was like an hour and something. That's all I had.
It honestly took me a little while to get into it, even though all of that happened because I was so distracted playing it. And I was like super into it up until like some recent events that happened. And I was like questioning some characters and things like that. Really not digging a lot of the side characters. It's like a very hit or miss type thing for me just because of their personalities, which is whatever. I'll get over
it. So side characters, like people in the plot or like
people in the plot, yeah. Not side quests. Side quests are still like silly and great pacing. Like break from this like super serious, I'm going to protect my family no matter what story. And it's great. They bring back like the cult.
The cult people?
Yeah, the cult people.
Oh no!
That guy.
Yeah, he's a threefer in these games. Oh,
wait.
Oh man!
Isn't there like three of them?
Yeah, it's like I think the same guy from Zero is in the
fucking cool. I've noticed a lot of things where like none of the people from Yakuza Zero are in Six besides Kiryu and fucking
Majima
because they all got fucking killed.
Yes.
Like I was thinking, I wonder if this guy's in this game.
No, he's in hell.
Really guys in this game.
Also in hell.
Like everyone from Zero went to fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you know it's a prequel. It's like, fuck, we did not plan to have any of these characters.
They literally had 1 through 5 set up, and it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
we can't like retcon all of these games. Well, you could have. You cowards.
Like, I had this really weird moment where like you're looking at all the people in the prologue.
You're like, oh,
and I saw like the dude in the green jacket. I'm like, this is what's her name's
Lee.
Guy. Yeah, like this is Lee. And then I looked up Lee. I'm like, Sally, you just look like Lee. And then I'm like, wait, I wonder who else died. And then I found out fucking everyone did.
Yeah.
Like, actually everybody but fucking Kiryu and Majima.
He's in this game, later in this game, because I was reading through the memories and it did say he died in 5.
Oh, yeah?
Died, probably. Okay. The motherfuckers, the Revolver Ocelot of this series. Of course he quote-unquote died.
Oh, man, fuck.
So, yeah, Yakuza... oh, my gosh. I forgot to talk about, like, the fighting and the leveling up systems, which are worlds better than they were in Zero.
Yeah, I've heard they're, like, really good.
The fighting's actually, like...
The fighting is actually, like, fighting and provides a challenge.
Kennedy's been telling me that it's, like, so much better.
Yeah.
It's like, actually...
You have
like
a lot more system. Crowd control. Yeah. Like, right off the bat, you get a move that's like, I'm going to pick up this dude and swing him around and throw him. And whoever he takes out will be out. And he'll be out too.
Oh my goodness.
I start battles with that.
It makes me really, really hopeful for that Fist of the North Star game they're making.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's using this engine, isn't it?
I would assume
I think they said it was.
I don't think they'd be using the one from Zero.
We have this brand new engine. Actually, let's use the Zero one.
Oh yeah, that's out in Japan already.
Really?
Yes. It came out... in February.
Oh, that's right, because I remember I definitely contemplated importing it.
It's not like you'd need to understand much.
No. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like Fist of the North Star is better when you don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, you just accept it at face value.
You just see it and you're like, oh.
It's a very easy story to take in without knowing anything.
Yeah.
Based off the few scenes I've watched from the show, it's almost like...
You mean the one?
Yeah, the one scene I've watched from the show, I definitely get that vibe. It's sort of a lot of like walking and like silence and like people staring at each other. I feel like it's and then gratuitous violence.
It's actually also a very good revenge story and like love story. It's very good.
Okay, so it still holds up.
I would absolutely say it still holds up. That thing is timeless.
Yakuza 6's leveling up system. Well, its battle system is fluid, so it doesn't, like, play a cutscene every time you walk into a battle. It's just, you're in the battle now, you can go from sprinting to, like, oh, they'll notice you, to, like, you can drop kick people now. Enjoy. Or, like, you can immediately, while that, like, blue tint is still on the screen, introducing your people that you're fighting, it'll be like, thugs! And it's like, I've already picked one up.
They're already dead.
What thugs?
Yeah, That's kind of what happens when, I'll get into this, but there's a, much like you said, the skirmishes in Ni no Kuni 2, there are clan battles in Yakuza 6. Mm-hmm. There's this like rogue vigilante group named Justice, which has like gone corrupt and now they're a gang and whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the founding members is like, well, we have to get revenge on them, duh. We have to fight them all. So you control this army. Of like little people, and you like send them out. It's an RTS type thing.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Kiryu runs an orphanage. Got orphans versus Yakuza. Let's go.
None of the orphans like leave the orphanage except for Haruka. Okay, they're all safe at home.
I hope so. Although I really love. I can't wait for.
Well,
the
not
mod.
That I know of. They might.
Can't wait for the mod.
He comes home. Is this coming out on PC? Gone.
No, it's not.
Damn. I want the orphanage faction.
You can mod stuff on PS4 though. Huh. You can.
Interesting.
With like some custom firmware, because I know people did it for Bloodborne and found some unused bosses.
Oh yeah,
that's a whole tangent, but that was fucking cool. So you in battles and stuff, you get these points, and it's one of 5 different types, and you use that to buy abilities, and you can pretty much build whatever you want. But I'm like building up my base stats, and whatever I can buy after that, I'll buy.
So, how do you get these various?
Oh, sub stories, battling. And like eating food, actually. Okay. So the restaurants serve more of a purpose than just completion. Like, but you'll actually get experience from eating at them.
Yeah. So you said you said there's like what 5 different like sort of currencies you can get.
Yeah.
And how do you get them exactly?
The red, yellow, and blue ones you get from fighting.
Okay.
The green and purple ones you get from mostly doing sub stories and doing main story missions.
And are you able to affect which color you get, like based on like how you play or something?
Yeah, the depending on what upgrades you buy, you can choose to get more of a certain type of experience.
Okay. And is there still, like, fighting styles and some sort? Or is it just, like, one big tree?
It's all one. Kiryu's default fighting style is a combination of his beast. No, not beast. Of his...
Dragon.
Dragon and the blue brawler. One. Brawler, the one I never used. Brawler and Dragon is, like, his default. And the heat moves are from all four.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then you have that back dash that was in Rush. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
You can also pick up a move that was the one where Majima had from the breaker style, where it's you were on the ground, but you could get up and, like, spin. Break dance around people. You can do that after you've been knocked down. Oh, that's one you can
buy. It's like...
I know. One of my favorite things about
sequels is when this shit happens. I feel like it's a rare thing
where
a sequel happens, like, wow, they just made the game better.
All right, Greg, are you ready? You can parry. You can re-guard after your guard's been broken. You can hit on a guard break.
I love all of these words. These are all of my favorite words.
If you didn't like the combat in Zero, play Six.
The thing is, it's like, I actually like the combat in Zero. I can just also recognize that it's terrible. So if I can get a good video game, because, like, literally, it's like, there's plenty of games specific, like, recently I've played where it's like, this is objectively bad, but I still enjoy it.
Yes.
Yakuza was definitely on that front. And
agree to disagree. I fucking loved Yakuza.
Not the whole game, but the combat.
Just
the
combat. I know.
Yeah. But, like, it's, like, really bad, but, like,
you're still
man, the
fun.
Heat actions. Like, it, like, I could watch them, like, 100 times. And I did. I literally did. I watched them hundreds of times.
You could murder someone by shoving, a tangerine in their mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have a tangerine in your inventory, you can just kill someone with a tangerine.
That is incredible.
You could also dump salt in their eyes.
Yeah, I learned about the item meta very late in my Yakuza Zero playthrough.
They don't explain it.
No, they don't. It was just like one of my friends who's over, and he's like, I need you to have these things in your inventory. I'm like, why? He's like, you'll see.
Yeah, I was very late to the item meta. I thought the only items you could, like, do that stuff with were, like, the stuff you pick up. But no, like, end game, I, like, had a bunch of, like, swords or some shit on Majima, and I just kept breaking them on people with heat attacks. So much damage.
His Mad Dog style was so fucking good, because you had the unbreakable dagger.
Yeah, I actually never got the...
Few people do, because it was, like, 10 hours work mad hard. Per character to get that fourth fighting style. I did it. It was worth it. And I still had another, like, 20 hours of game to play when I did it. Anyway, Yakuza 6, great so far.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to pick it up after I finish God of War.
Yeah. I think I got to a point in the story where I was like, oh, no, I can see where this is heading, and I don't want to do this at 2 in the morning. So.
There's a lot of shit to play again. Like, it was really, like, last week where I'm like, I need more games to play. And now this week I have three big things to play.
What's three?
Labo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not playing. I have to fucking build it.
But hey, building is playing. Yeah. Speaking of which, have you begun your Labo journey?
I was going to bring it today, and we were going to build it. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I don't want to carry this today.
Can you bring it in Friday?
Maybe I might do some building of it tomorrow. I'll bring it in once it's all built.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want to, like, bring the shit.
Yeah, I'll build it wrong.
Yeah, I'll
want to build it right.
Yeah, I'll build the pieces, and I'll bring them in, like,
okay.
I don't know how big they'll be. So
you
I'll bring them
carry
in.
Them in
yeah, I'll see. I'll bring them in when they're done, and we'll fucks with it.
Cool. I wouldn't assume it would be, like, that big, considering they have to, like, fit the switch screen, and then not much more.
Exactly. Was it you guys I sent that picture to of the?
Stabo Labo.
Yeah, Stabo Labo.
Yeah. You know, I will.
I fucking love shit like that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll have stuff to say about the Labo next week once I actually. Yeah. I think tomorrow I'm gonna sit down because I don't have anything tomorrow. I'm just gonna sit down and fucking
go
to town on it.
Nice.
All right. So next we're gonna play a game.
Yes.
Oh, I love me games.
Yes.
This game is called 7 Ways to Wiki.
Oh, we get 7 links.
Nope. What's it called?
It's 5 links to loss.
5 links to loss.
I would like to play this. I rarely get to play.
That's true. So we have Diana in corner one. Who is combatant number
My
two?
My phone is not connected to Wi-Fi and has
Adam,
no reception.
Adam, thanks for volunteering.
If I made it. You guys, did you read my application? I was really, really...
We picked you because there was no one else.
No, you don't tell people that.
That's what they don't tell you about job interviews.
Yeah. Well, you had 3 to 5 years in dank memes experience, so we thought you were great for the job, senior.
I'd rather you. Okay.
Before we start, I did do one other thing. I went to round one in Taunton. Ooh. And I've known about Sound Voltex for like 4 years at this point. Finally got to play it. And I'm going to order myself a little controller as a late birthday gift to me. Because I found there's this guy that makes one called the Pocket Voltex. And it's like this big. And it has all of the like essential buttons on it. And it looks a hell of a lot better than the one that's $60 more. So.
All right.
Where are we going?
So, yes, we're playing Five Links to Lost. This is a game involving the world's famous Wikipedia.org.
Yes.
So I'll explain how it works. Pretty much there's going to be 5 rounds, each about 30 seconds. And we're going to have a start point. And the goal is within that 30 seconds to find a single link and then click on it. And then wait for the next round to start, find another link, rinse and repeat. And your main goal is to get as far away and weird as you could possibly get.
As lost
as one could possibly get from that point.
Here, Dan, you can help me.
Okay.
Dan, you can run the timer, actually.
Dan, you can't help me, Dan.
Yes.
You can't help me. I was trying to include you, but you can't now.
Well, I included him, but he's doing his own thing. He doesn't have to rely on you to do shit.
All right.
To click on a link?
Actually, that's more on you.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we starting? Today's starting link is Feray Doin Moyini.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to spell.
It's F-E-R-E-Y-D-O-U-N. Got it?
Yeah.
Moe, like Mo, M-O-E-I-N-I.
Okay, I'm there. Oh, Jesus. This is one paragraph.
Greg, this is two sentences.
Get lost, motherfucker.
All right. Cool. Oh, boy. Oh, this dude's 71 years old.
Oh, he's still alive. Fantastic.
All right.
Does it count if I use this external source?
No.
Damn.
So you've got 30 seconds to choose between three links.
Oh, shit.
All right, competitors.
Wait.
Are you, Dan, are you
ready? This one's tough because these are all. I'm cheating a little bit and I'm looking at all of them currently. But these are.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this might have been a bad link, but it was the first one I got.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yes, I did random article and I got Feray Doin Moyini.
Yeah, you think I was going looking on my own volition for Naruto the Last the Movie?
Maybe.
All right.
Huh.
So, Dan, are you ready? Competitors, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yes. All right. Begin.
The music just started playing in my head, though.
Wow, the competitors are searching very hard. I'm actually looking at the page right now. I can see between the three links we have Iranian football striker.
Pause the game. I have a
question.
Can I pick the things on the bottom or no?
Like, that's a link on the page.
That's a link on the page. Okay. We do say it is legal. Continue the timer.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. I think I know what you're going to go for.
Well, I was lying. I previously had said there's only three links on the page, but now we have expanded to many other things. I'm not kidding.
Competitors
are looking.
That's it.
Oh, that was 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
I regret.
Yes, life comes at you fast.
Okay, sure.
Please do not spoil this.
We might have gone to the same one.
Mayhaps. All right, competitors, round two. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. There's a lot here.
Begin.
Okay.
30 seconds. Adam has a look of just pure amazement.
Oh, boy. Who do I pick?
Okay, we picked the same one.
Oh, suddenly, Diana with a gasp.
Oh, I went to mine already. Shit, sorry.
She's already found it. You can click on the link, but you may not use your eyeballs.
Yeah, I'm not going
to. Do not get that advantage.
I'm not going to look at it.
I could honestly just make this a meme.
Please. The judge is Dan, I believe. Which is
yeah.
He might have actually been compromised already, so maybe I'll be the judge.
Yeah, you can both. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to click the one that I thought I clicked. Where did it go? You. I don't know who you are. I'm sorry, but your name is Wong.
Did we both go to people born in 1946?
We both went to people born in 1946.
Okay, spoilers. All right, round three. Round three, begin!
I'm going to need someone to pronounce everything for me.
That's fine. I am an expert in Iranian pronunciation.
Are you?
If you could not tell by my foray doing the Moini.
When do I concede? I'm going to click this word.
You cannot concede. You must go all five rounds. All
right.
Once you're lost, okay. You're lost, baby. You can't just fucking
I'm
walk
so
away.
Lost.
You can't just walk away.
So and I have two clicks to find
can
myself.
Can I, like, after this round, take a quick, like, bathroom break?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Time, by the way.
I feel like I'm going to die.
It's all right, time.
All right.
We will continue after this. Why? Our sponsors.
So long.
I'll be right
Why is every Wikipedia page so fucking long?
Please don't die.
How am I supposed to look at all of these in 30 seconds?
You can't. Stop looking. You're cheating.
Let me get my monitors back on. My in-ear monitors. All right. That's now fantastic. I'm ready for round three.
Was that round three? That was round four.
That was what?
That was round.
Round yeah, that was.
That was round
count
two.
Your tabs. Well, I have three tabs right now.
So we're on round four.
Yes.
What?
This will be the fourth click.
No, the first one. Then we click the second one.
But I thought third. We don't we click five different links or is it five things in total?
It's five rounds.
But this is the third round.
So we started.
We're starting
we started
the fourth
with,
round.
Yeah, we should.
Hold on.
Should have been.
Look at my history. So
I just opened your tabs.
One, two.
We're not
okay, yeah, then it is the fourth.
We're not counting what we started on, right?
No.
Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, fourth round.
All right.
All right.
Round four, begin!
Oh, jeez.
I have really fucked myself.
There's just a lot of stress on both competitors' faces. Actually, no, Deanna's pretty chill. But Adam is clenching his forehead. His skin is flushed.
I didn't pick a good... Oh, wait a minute.
Don't you dare tell me it's fucking time, Dan.
30 seconds have passed.
No, not yet.
Don't you tell me even what happens.
Actually, that's against the rules, sir.
Just shut up. I want to cheat.
Time.
Oh, okay.
Wait, oh, where is it? I lost it.
Yeah,
I got this.
Where'd it go?
Four,
I'm clicking.
No.
Three.
There it is.
Okay. And now, final round. Begin. We don't have time for your suffering. Start the clock.
I don't know how to say that word.
Okay, I have one. I'm just trying to see if I get to like a better one. Oh no! Don't do this.
Okay, I'm done.
All right.
All right.
I'm also
it's not,
done.
It's not weird. It's just.
Okay.
A mess.
So you're both clicked?
Yeah.
All right.
Just in time.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. So competitors, please reveal.
I'm
please
stressed.
Read aloud
right,
the
Greg.
Name of your final link.
The final link?
Yes.
Y chromosome.
Okay. And Deanna?
Posse cut.
Y chromosome. Okay. Let's think about this. So we started off with Foray Doin Moini. He is a retired Iranian football striker who played all of his careers at Persepolis. He was also a teacher at universities and a manager of an Iranian football team. That's like football, like, you know, the real one. And we have Y chromosome and posse cut?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well,
a posse cut.
Wait, I feel like that might... Should I do it based on the names? I'm trying to remember how we did them before. Was the names, or did
I
we
think
also
we definitely read a sentence.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, please continue.
A posse cut is a popular form of song in hip-hop music that involves successive verses by four or more rappers.
Okay. And Y chromosome.
The Y chromosome is one of two sex chromosomes
yeah, okay,
in mammals, including humans and many other animals.
Okay. So,
also the other is the X chromosome, in case you were wondering.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, based off of these things, I've come to, I think I'm going to go with posse cut. The reason is, Y chromosome. I feel like from just the world, it's easy to get to like P people and like science and shit, and from there into the Y chromosome. Your journey there might have been amazing, but based off the final destination, and I may regret it once I figure out your journey. But for right now, I have to pick Posse.
I don't know what my journey is. You won't regret it.
Ayana, please reveal your journey.
So, I got to Posse Cut from We In This Bitch.
Wait.
Is that a page?
We In This
Bitch. Yes. Is that a song?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
I got to We In This Bitch from Fucking Problems.
Whoa, okay.
I got to Fucking Problems from 2 Chainz.
Whoa. We are not that far from Foray Ray Molini.
And.
But wait, wasn't that 1940?
I got to 2 Chainz from a category, Living People, which, oh yeah.
Oh, because his name is a number. He was at the top.
He's at the top.
Uh huh.
Makes sense.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
Oh yeah, and from Living People, I got to, from Feridun Mundi. Mundi. I don't know. I was trying to say it fast. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Feridun Moini.
Feridun Moini.
Or is it like, do you pronounce all of the vowels? If it's Moaini.
Moaini.
Anyways, yes, I think Adam, please.
I don't need you to see my journey. I just need you guys to see how many options I had for every single click. I had all of these options.
Oh, geez.
Not to mention, look at the top.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
These were so I clicked. I started pages at 1946 births, and there were 11,000 things. No, I'm sorry. 200 pages of approximately 11,000 things I could have clicked on. And then I clicked on this guy named Abdul Rahman bin Saud Al Saud. And he had like 3 things on his page. So he immediately limited my thing. So I'm like, okay, what's the broadest one here? And it was Dynasty. Okay. And I don't know if you've seen the Wikipedia page for Dynasty, but there's a lot here.
Holy shit.
So I've had, it went from 12,000 clicks to 3 to probably another 12,000. And then I went from, I don't know how to say this word, but you're an English major, so teach me.
Patrilinearity.
Patrilinearity.
That means your father's heritage.
Okay. And then that's where also, I got to Y chromosome.
What do you mean you didn't know what it is?
It was too quick. It was too quick.
30 seconds.
Also known as the male line.
Yeah, no,
the
no, no.
Spear side. Or agnatic kinship.
No, like I was not thinking. I had to click. Like, I'm sure if I'm sure I could have figured what that word out is if I had the time. But I had to fucking go. And then I ended up on Y chromosome.
Okay, cool.
I appreciate your struggle, but I do think I picked the right.
You picked the right one.
I picked the right one.
You picked the right one. This was just really hard.
Being able to pivot into 2 Chainz that quickly is definitely worthy of praise. Whenever you can pivot into 2 Chainz 2 rounds in, that's a master play right there.
2 Chainz 2 rounds.
It was too broad. But if I had 2 clicks, I probably could have gotten to Foreskin again. Like last time.
Fucking Problems.
Okay.
Cool. All
right, so that was 5 ways to lost?
5 links to lost.
Links to lost. All right.
It's because of the double L's.
Now it's time for questions. Boom, ba-dum, boom.
Okay. I can't close my laptop.
No, don't do that.
This first question comes from Amber. What are your opinions on using virtual simulations to learn? Like perhaps you could take woodshop classes safely in VR or cooking,
soldering.
Never seen that word before. Knitting or anything like a skill. Maybe even doctors can train in vendor surgery. Just wanted to know how you think this could affect the VR ecosystem. Maybe lend video games legitimately as a tool for learning and fun. Now, this is something I'm actually very interested in.
It's a weird thing because, like, ultimately you are still picking up on the skill set necessary to, like, do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there is a very big difference between putting on a headset and having, like, 2 pieces of plastic in your hands and, like, physically holding whatever it is you have to work with.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I definitely think that it's a sort of a very, like, good first step.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like,
sort of being able to do it in this safe, sort of non-hostile environment.
Yeah.
And you're sort of practicing more concepts, less execution. Once it's like really in your hands, it feels a whole lot different.
Yeah.
Depending on, obviously it varies depending on the skill, but I think sort of grander concepts and sort of like,
it's definitely good for that. Yeah, it's definitely good for like learning like the idea of what you have to do.
Yeah.
But you know, say you do like wood shop or something, you know, a piece of plastic in your hand is not going to have the same weight or feel as a piece of wood, which is what you're going to be working with.
Yeah. But when I would go to FIG in the past few years, one of the things I'd actually do a lot is go to the like children game sections.
Yeah.
They always have like the good like contest too, where you could like go play everybody else's games. They're like a very tight knit community, and they would always come up with like those sort of like raffle type things where you'd have to go play the other kid games there. But I always used to talk to the devs there and sort of like see where they were coming from, and a lot of them had like psychology backgrounds and stuff like that, and they sort of like got into this because they do believe that games have like an amazing teaching tool. I don't so much care about people's perception of games so much nowadays, but yeah, if it makes things more legitimate in the eyes of normies, sure.
Yeah.
I guess that's nice, but
I mean, yeah, right? Like, it's always, oh god, seeing the media talk about video games at all is always the worst. Like, even just yesterday, I heard my grandfather watching the news, and I heard the word Fortnite. I'm like, I want to see what normies think about Fortnite, and there's me like, are video games bad? I'm like, okay, so it's the same shit. I just left. I'm like, all right, bye.
Yeah, we have to talk about Fortnite, butts.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I think they're a good teaching tool.
For sure.
Yeah. I think we need to get better at, like, virtual reality in general for them to be considered a legitimate, like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, teaching tool for VR more minute things, yeah.
VR is still in its very early stages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's just a time thing.
Yeah. I think so.
I definitely think this is, like, the space for VR, though. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's... I think it should be used more toward... as, like, educational tools and stuff like that. Or
VR
like,
is... I would say VR is more of a general medium than, like, specifically for games.
For sure. Right, like, yeah. I definitely think it has way more of a spot with just general things rather than video games. Because, like, right now we're seeing it in the video game space, and it's not really taking anything. Mm-hmm. Like the industry isn't really... Like, people are trying to make games for it, but... Its best use is definitely not with video games, for sure.
Yeah.
And its best use is probably going to be with, like, interior design, honestly.
That could be great,
AR
right?
Even.
Yeah. And so I definitely think more things in this direction for VR will be way, way, way better down the line and will be way more useful.
Yeah.
And just better suited for the technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely hit a wall with the VR where it's, like, we're coming to the point where it's just like, man, controllers are just so good at what they do.
Yeah.
And until we get to the point where we can, like, fix our brains and be able to walk around cleanly and not get barfy and not have, like, 70% of consumers get barfy when trying to walk around the room.
Yeah.
Then, VR is really just not going to take off. Maybe one day we'll solve that problem. But for right now, I definitely think that... If you're trying to make video games with it, maybe pivot.
For sure.
Maybe, because I definitely think that VR as an educational tool will take off before it actually does for video games. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, I don't even think that it'll help with the whole, like, normie perception of video games, because I actually think that they will become a sort of more general tool than... I think we'll solve that issue, or, like, we'll figure out how to do that properly before we actually figure out how to make good games with them.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
No, I'm excited to see where it goes. I think AR has more practical applications just in general over VR.
It's just more convenient.
Yeah. So I think we should, I don't know, just my unpopular opinion is that we should focus on that first. Because that's easily accessible for more people than like an $800 headset.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if we don't focus on VR, those $800 headsets will stay at $800.
Correct. Yeah.
And we'll never get the $200 headsets.
Like, it's a double-edged sword, for sure. Yeah. Just wanted to throw in my two cents.
Yeah.
The next question we have on the list is, what are some things about bears?
They're bigger than you think.
They're really cute.
They're
like, think about the size of a bear and then like 50% more than that.
Yeah.
They're hairy gay men.
Yeah. Yeah, all of these next ones are from Yahoo Answers, by the way.
I really love those pictures of just like bears in the wild just waving at people.
Oh my god.
It's so cute.
Yeah. I love unthreatening bears, but from a distance.
Yeah.
Because if you get close, they're threatening. They will be. They don't want you in their space.
Yeah, bears are like, I find bears fascinating. I've always loved bears ever since I've been a little kid. And I love that sort of aspect of them where they are equal parts cute and super deadly.
Yeah.
Just like they can kill the shit out of you. Like effortless just murder. Like some animals, you might be able to fight them off for a second. Bears will just destroy. They have so many means
to destroy.
They can just like crush you. They could bite you. They could tear you open with their claws or their mouth. It's there.
Yeah, literally one wrong move and you're dead now.
They're so, and like, this what? Is, look at them. What are they?
And also, they're really fucking fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're massive.
Can't they run like 40 miles an hour or something?
They're probably really fucking fast.
They're like these fat fucks and they also move incredibly fast.
That's not fat, that's muscle.
Right, like, it appears to be fat, but clearly it's muscle.
That's yeah,
it's like the body lifters. Not the ones who like sculpt their bodies, but like the Olympic guys who come there with their square ass bodies. You're just like, what is this weak motherfucker gonna do? Yeah, the power lifters. Yeah. It's like, look at this square ass man show up and he lifts like
he lifts like four times.
I only have this layer of fat to protect the six pack underneath.
That's what a bear is. A bear is a square man with a lot of hair.
Real talk though, this is why I do respect Russians, because I've legitimately seen videos of a Russian woman. She is essentially calling a bear Steve and rubbing its belly. And it's just like eating, like living it up. It's just like, yes, belly rubs. Please give more. Yes, Thanks. Call me Steve. It's fucking playing in the snow.
Bears are very like friendly in the correct environment.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
However,
yeah, if you intrude on their space,
yeah,
that's a problem.
You're dead.
Yeah. They're super dead. Cool.
But if they're intruding on yours, they're generally not that bad.
Cool.
Yeah.
Noted. Yogi, come picnic.
Dogs or humans, which smell better to you?
They both smell bad. I
mean, it really depends. Dogs don't really have like a means to cleanse themselves besides licking themselves, and that spit doesn't make you smell good.
I think a nicely groomed dog, also a freshly showered person, just great, good smells.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. It's like I've definitely, on average, I would say a dog is better kept.
Are you saying better like kept than a person? Like at their worst, or like
just in general?
So yeah,
it doesn't specify. Okay.
So in my personal experience, dogs have been better kept than people are.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because the sort of people that can own a dog usually have the means to take care of them. Not always. We've heard the horror stories, but I've never actually been in a house where those horror stories happen. So generally, dogs, like, you know, can smell a little bad, or they'll smell like a wet dog or something. But I have smelled like people who will just irradiate just like a blast of shit. They enter the room and you get kicked in the face of just doodoo cucka all up in your face. Sure. Just like and then like and then everyone has to ask him to leave.
I will say dogs are better because dogs literally do not exude grease.
That's true.
What are you talking about, like skin oils?
Yeah, I'm talking about skin oils. I've seen some shit.
Well, wait, no.
I mean, this is a don't smell, they? Right?
They do, but they don't leave it everywhere.
Wait, I'm confused.
Fuck. They have, they like, probably exude oil, sure, but it gets caught in their fur.
Yeah.
Gross. But does it
there's
smell?
No fur to catch that. They'll just leave it wherever they touch. It's
Unfortunately, the question is not who's grosser. It is which smells worse. And if your skin oil has a scent, you might have a problem. Please get help.
Yeah, if you like touch something,
I still say humans smell worse.
Like I agree. Yeah.
Like if you just touch something and you're like, and you can smell it, that's an issue.
Yeah.
It's like, what's a dog gonna smell like? He's gonna smell like
bad breath, maybe some farts.
Mm-hmm. Like, but humans can be exposed to so many worse.
Yeah, no. Humans have the capability to smell way worse than dogs do, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, just general living. Hmm. Like, if you don't wash a dog for a year and you don't wash a human for a year, the human's going to smell way worse than the dog.
Hmm. We need to test this. The first LifeCast science experiment.
No.
I volunteer.
Right. Okay. You are recording remote from a chamber.
I wonder what that's
I'm now stuck
like,
in the chamber. My thighs are now stuck to the metal
like,
seat.
Like, man, I wonder what that's like. Is there just like some days where I get home and I'm like, oh, I showered this morning?
Yeah.
Like, imagine yeah. 365
I like
them.
got home from work today to change, and I was like, oh, I should put deodorant on again. Yeah. And then I forgot.
Like, imagine an entire year of just nothing.
That is like one really bad depression session.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually you'll become nosebleeds.
That's true, because then only other people will be able to. Your body will get used to it.
Yeah, that's why like, medieval. That's why medieval people
that.
Still fucked because
yeah,
they were nose
everyone
blind.
Spelled bad.
Just imagine like you're thinking you go back in time. Oh, I can't wait to talk to Cleopatra or some shit, and then she just comes
Cleopatra
out smells
like
shit.
Cleopatra
smelled
like shit. They literally used poop as face masks back then.
Now we use placentas.
At least we put flowers or some shit in it.
Lavender scented placenta.
It's like, ew, this placenta smells gross. Add some flowers to that bitch.
We use snail mucus and snake venom too.
Yeah.
Oh, still God, smells like flowers.
Lavender snake mucus. Yeah. Other way around. Snake venom.
Sure. I'll put that on my face on a sheet mask. It's probably going to do some good shit.
Do a lot of quiet noises. Make a loud noise.
Yes.
No, they just make a lot of really annoying quiet noises, and it makes you sound like you're going insane.
Yeah.
Is insanity loud?
I feel like they don't automatically...
Internally, yeah.
They don't automatically equal a loud noise, but, like, that level of sensory overload, yes, loud noise.
Yeah. Yeah, I lean on the yes, too, just because it's like... Obviously not in terms of decibels or whatever, but in terms of perception, yes, very much so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can get behind that.
If you donate hair and the person receives it commits a crime, leaving your hair at the crime scene, would you be convicted?
I think you'd be convicted, but you'd be acquitted very fast.
Yeah. I mean, if you match DNA of somebody, you're gonna get brought in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Regardless.
Also, DNA matching is not perfect, because there are a lot of ways it could go wrong. But still...
Yeah.
If you have a solid alibi, like, I was literally on the other face of the other side of the earth. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, I literally donated my hair and shipped it to Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables. For example, you donate your hair to a local place, and then this asshole with gorgeous hair commits a crime. that is not too far away, and it's just like...
I have a follow-up question.
All right.
If they do get convicted and they go to jail and they shave off their hair, are you legally entitled to get that hair back?
And if you shave...
Oh, that's amazing.
And if you shave off that head of hair and grow in your own fucking hair back, are you suddenly free? Because you're no longer that person.
The sisterhood of the traveling scalp.
Like, go ahead, test my hair. Go ahead, test my hair again, motherfucker.
Wow, I love Hellblade.
It just goes all around the world. This hair has told many stories. For some reason, it keeps going to criminals.
Because yeah, who else would buy a scalp?
Now, that's a good fucking garbage indie movie.
It's a good zombie movie.
Yep.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever found in your food?
So, I thought about this one at dinner tonight. I'm like, huh. I've never found anything too weird. The weirdest thing I found was, like, we went to the market once and we got a head of lettuce and we went home to clean it and there was, like, a hornet in it. But, like,
goodbye.
It was dead. It was a dead hornet. No. We threw that fucking lettuce so quick. It was so fucking immediate.
I just picture the shot. It's just like you got a you know, heavy zoom on the cabbage. Hornet shows for like a frame of a second. Hard cut cabbage just exploded upon the wall.
Fucking God.
You don't even have to, like, you miss the trash can. It just explodes on the wall.
Yeah, no. Wait, did I say cabbage?
Yes.
Head of lettuce.
Yeah.
Iceberg lettuce.
Oh, throw away your romaine lettuce. Yeah. CDC said so.
Yeah. Apparently that's
getting... Well, they all like salmonella, right?
That gets
right?
E. coli.
E. coli, yeah.
That's the doo-doo one, right?
That's the doo-doo one,
and also the one that's actually killing people now.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
The world sucks.
Yeah, because I told my mom about this, and she was like, oh, but I made salad. And I was like, okay, I'm throwing it away. And she was like, why?
Because it's going to kill his mom. Equalize.
What about you, Dan? You found anything weird in your food?
Not really. I've never had any like really weird food experiences like that. Like the worst I've had is like I ordered a thing of mozzarella sticks and there was an onion ring in there.
Oh.
And like that's it.
Oh, the terror.
That's a bonus. That's a free onion ring.
What a blessing.
I don't think I've ever found anything out of the ordinary except for like one of my own eyelashes on a dish I prepared. Mm-hmm. Which is like okay, whatever, that came from me. I don't like when people put capers on things, though. Disgusting.
Well,
they're very salty peas.
Also, I remember in Lifecast chat, Kennedy wanted to mention something.
Yeah.
Here it is. So the reason, I don't know what Jimmy John's is. It's like a sub shop or something.
It's a garbage sub shop. I don't know why people like it.
Everyone in the Smash 4 community likes it for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
It's garbage.
I started unfollowing people from the Smash community because I was like, you guys aren't like woke anymore.
Yeah.
But she found a piece of metal in her sub.
That's rough.
Like just raw ass, like
just like some metal. Iron,
forbidden snack,
some cobalt. just in my sub,
just shaved cobalt like, right on there.
There was another thing now that I think about it. It was an au bon pain, and my mom got a salad au bon pain.
The little yellow one that serves breakfast food.
Au bon pain. It's like a fucking salad place that you see in like malls and garbage.
Yeah.
My mom got a salad there, and there was a ladybug in there.
Oh, friend.
I don't really have a.
We don't either.
I mean, besides like flies and shit, which just happens every.
It just happens,
while.
Yeah.
One time, my mom prepared a full dish of food, and someone left it on the table, and then my dog got in it.
So did you eat your dog?
Just a large tray, and like my dog was like inside the plate eating it.
Oh, nice.
So there was an entire dog. on top of this like sort of thick soup type thing.
this also isn't weird, but when I'm at my grandparents, we'll make like Armenian coffee, and you pour it and like you don't filter out the grinds, so I always hate it when you get to the bottom of the cup and it's just like grinds. It's not even coffee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Not fun. No. Yeah, other than that, I haven't found anything weird. Oh, Kennedy did also want us to mention the woman that...
Chili finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that found a finger in her Wendy's chili, but apparently she had brought it from home.
You know, as you
yeah.
do.
As one does.
Yeah.
There is also...
I remember when I first lost my finger, and I decided to leave it in my freezer.
Yeah.
So I could maybe, you know, sue Wendy's.
There is also this bar somewhere. Probably in like Alabama, that serves a cocktail with a literal toe in it, and people will get their toes cut off to donate to put in this drink.
Where?
Let me look it up.
What the fuck?
It's legit.
Why?
Blah, blah, blah.
Are they vampires? is this like one of those weird like Romanian vampire clubs?
What the fuck? Vampires don't grow appendages back.
Neither do people. Like, who the fuck is donating their toes?
Disgusting.
There's a lot of people in the world.
Where is this?
But wait, like, do they do it off of, like, dead people?
Oh. Is this where the lady got her finger to put in the chili?
Okay.
Same
it's
company.
It is, it's in Canada.
Oh, goody.
It is called the Sour Toe Cocktail. And it is
sour.
Yeah, it is from Dawson City, Yukon Territory, Canada. Know before you go. Thanks, Atlas Obscura, for this fucking awful fact. Toe time occurs nightly between 9 and 11 p.m.
Wow.
Y'all got toes?
Mm-hmm. None I'm getting rid of.
At least I don't plan on it.
Oh boy.
Anyway, you have more?
No, I'm don't. Well, the questions I have here, but I just came up with something.
Okay,
so,
cool. We're at an hour and 11, by the way.
Yeah. So, me and my brother are working on a little project, and it's gonna involve a lot of getting sad and emotions and shit. I won't explain the details yet, but it does leave me the question of what is your sort of most, what is your most vivid memory of ugly crying at a piece of media? Maybe recently, or like maybe there's like one that sticks out to you where you like, maybe you were by yourself, which made it extra sad and depressing. Or just like, what is that time where you just found yourself maybe alone, absorbing a piece of media and you were just ugly crying by yourself?
I decided to watch Anohana, the flower we saw that day, in like the middle of a 3-week depression session. I lasted 3 minutes and I was bawling. I did not watch further. That's it.
Let's see.
I was like, I can't. My life's falling apart. I can't do this.
Nope. You got one?
Probably Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've been like wanting / definitely not wanting to watch this movie for a very long time.
Me too.
It's a great time, but not in the sense that most things are.
It's an incredibly well-made movie. One of the best movies I've ever seen. I'm never watching it again.
Wow.
It is actual depression. You will cry.
Cool.
Huh. Yeah, I've never been like more. Because like, you know, I don't mind crying.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When I watched the trailer for that fucking movie, I was like, you know what? I'm actually just going to do myself a favor and opt out of this one. Yeah. I'm just going to hit the check mark and just not. Especially because it's about brothers. I'm like, I'm like super close to my brother, so it's just like, I know that movie's going to fucking ruin me.
Another, like, a video game that I had a super visceral reaction to was actually Yakuza 0.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of moments in that I was just not okay at.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable. there was one moment that fucked me up super bad. I'm not going to discuss it, but there was one moment.
Was it late in the game?
Yeah, it was late in the moment when an important character dies.
Yeah.
But I specifically remember it. So Tiffany was like out in the, she was just like out doing homework or some shit. I just like walked by and she's like, do you need a pee or some shit? And I was hiding my tears as I was running to the bathroom and grab a snot rag.
Yeah.
And that was definitely that was probably the most recent time where I've like ugly cried by myself.
I'm trying to think of others.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need a piece of media to do this. I'll just like look at where I'm at in life and I'm like, oh no. Yeah, no, especially these last like 6 weeks have just been fucking shit for me.
I can agree with that. Especially like the last like 2 months.
Yeah.
But like I tend so when a thing tells me to cry, I tend not to cry.
Yeah.
But I tend to get to find all my tears in like the happier things. Like sitcoms, for instance. Like I need a long period of time to get attached to characters for me to care about them enough to cry.
Yeah.
And I think How I Met Your Mother I definitely cried a few times during. The Office I cried during a few times. I need long periods of time to get attached to things. Like even in video games, sometimes 20 hours isn't enough. Sometimes 8 years of my life is enough. You know? Like
yeah. Oh man. Oh no. Speaking of that. Oh no. I remembered. Everything involving Nanako in Persona 4.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh. Everything involving her and Dojima is just, oh man.
Yeah, that stuff was always sad.
That shit was like, oh, that was so visceral. Like, I was... Oh,
you had to go and do that on this podcast. You had to just say the words like that.
Yeah, we're all gonna be sad tonight. You're welcome. fucking one of the things, the thing that first. So it's like, you know, I'm a dude, and as a dude, I'm taught to resist crying at all costs. Like I legit got my ass whooped for crying when I was younger. It's like, what the fuck are you crying for? You got hit more. So for a long time, I didn't cry. The thing that awoken my ability to cry again was actually The Walking Dead, the game, season one.
That was some sad shit.
The ending of season one is brutal.
That definitely got me.
That shit, I was like, not prepared. Because I wouldn't even play it. Like, I kind of jumped in. I didn't even get the full journey. I jumped in probably about halfway through the game and just started watching my brother play and like help with the decisions, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And fuck, that game, that was...
felt good, man. Yeah. It was like it all came back to me. And ever since then, I cry like every 2 weeks.
That's just like
it was my crying awakening.
It's good for your soul.
Yeah,
crisis
for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I generally
have a problem with it. You can fight me.
I generally like
the listener, not you guys. You guys are fine.
I don't want to fight.
we all just agreed crying is cool. The listener, fucking catch me in the alley at the back of your house. I'll be there.
I definitely tend to be more of a happy crier than a sad crier.
Yeah.
Like for sure.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
Don't get me wrong. There's still like some depression cries.
No, yeah.
But like if a video game or something is showing me something, I am more likely to cry at something overly happy than overly sad.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever cried happy. I've only done sad cries.
A happy cry like every other day. Yeah, in the middle of my depression crying, I'm like, oh, okay. There are a couple good things.
Yeah. I don't think a piece of media has ever made me happy cry. Only sad cry.
Yeah.
Tell me, man, fucking sitcoms get to me. There's something about watching a show for 10 years and seeing them all leave.
Speaking of a show I watched for a long time, Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably has one of the best hugs in the history of media, and it is when Iroh hugs Zuko towards like the end of the show, and it's just like, oh, it's so brutal. It's
oh man.
Oh my god,
it's the most beautiful hug I've ever seen. So there's so much emotion that it builds up to for this like one fucking moment.
Avatar in general has shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, oh, Tales of Ba Sing Se.
Oh, leaves from the vines falling so slow.
Like maybe that should be our first like finite podcast.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place for us all to start.
I really want to watch it.
Yeah, no.
I want to finish it.
Give me an excuse.
Mm. Anyway.
Oh man. Oh boy, that shit fucking ruined me. That show has a lot of emotional moments, but that one was like, and like the voice, like the voice actors kill it during that scene. Zuko sounds so pathetic in like the most beautiful way during that scene, and beautiful.
I think I have a good way to describe my emotions towards like games and stuff like that.
Okay, go.
People always talk about how The Last of Us makes them cry. They're like, "Oh man, the ending makes me really cry." But the closest I ever got to crying in The Last of Us was the giraffe scene.
Yeah.
Like, was that like brief moment
that
of bliss?
Was for me,
like,
too.
Like things like that are the things that get me.
Yeah. I kind of wish I like my happy crying in my brain like doesn't make sense. Like I've never even like almost had it. Like.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, maybe it's something in the way I was raised or something, but like, never happy cried. I've had plenty of happy moments in my life, but it never comes out that way for me.
Yeah.
I felt more like mad at the ending of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think The Last of Us ended. It's sad, but it's like,
well,
it's not like I'm
it's,
a cry
it's like
sad.
A
yeah, no, like
sad.
People
yeah.
always talk about like, oh man, Tess was really sad, or the kid was really sad, and something like that. I'm like, did you see those giraffes?
it was fucking beautiful.
It was fucking gorgeous, man.
And on top of that, everyone like makes fun of the giraffe scene. It's like, wow, giraffes. It's like,
what do you mean it's gorgeous?
This is a beautiful scene.
Yeah, that's like one of the most important scenes in the entire game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember ugly crying to Gurren Lagann. Yeah. There's an important character dies in the first half, and I wasn't ready for how invested I was for the character.
I remember. Okay, so there's the ugly crying in like the first half, and then the happy crying brought on by the ugly crying in the second half.
Yes. Yeah, Gurren Lagann was surprisingly emotional. I did not think that going.
Yeah. Because the first important character death is basically a springboard for the main character to grow as a person.
Okay.
And by the end of the show, you see a lot of that character in him as an adult.
Oh, fuck no!
It's cool. Definitely, it's one of those. Yeah.
No, that's my weakness. That's like my like story kryptonite is like this person is stronger because of the death of this person. I'm like,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only emotion that I have towards it. That sound that I made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got anything else for us? Some announcements, mayhaps?
Fucking crying, man. Feels good. if you like listening to people talk about emotional shit and crying along with them, stay tuned. Ooh.
Anyways, this has been the LifeCast. Before we finish up, let's do some announcements. We got plenty more podcasts. We have something known as the Code of Conflict, hosted by our lovely Deanna. It is a cyberpunk actual play podcast using the Shadowrun system. The publishing schedule got pushed back a week due to PAX.
Two weeks
due to PAX, and because you know we took like a slight hiatus here just to kind of figure ourselves out. But new episodes resume Sunday, and it should be every other Sunday after that. As Life is a Fiasco, it's a podcast that I'm running. It is a improv podcast where a rotating cast plays a game known as Fiasco. Fiasco is a improv game where you pretty much, you have 2 to 5 players, and each player has a relationship with the person sitting beside them, and they use these relationships and a few goals to sort of tell a story together. It's less about winning the game and more about being really fucking dumb.
It's so fucking fun. It's so fucking fun.
Really fun.
Yeah. Thick Thoughts is an in-depth podcast about various topics, not just video games. It is hosted by our lovely Adam.
It'll be out when we get our
first episode on Monster Hunter.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a little too late.
This we have to wait.
Happens.
Maybe we should re-record our first episode and not do it on Monster Hunter, or go back to Monster Hunter and re-evaluate.
Or maybe I'll like put that as like fucking episode 0, just to put something out.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do like God of War as episode 1, and then.
Cool.
Yeah, so general gist of it is we go hard. We analyze a game or a piece of media fully and thoroughly. Mm-hmm. You know, completely all spoilers. Just yeah, just super hard. We also stream on Twitch. If you go to what is it, the
twitch.tv/thelifecast.
Twitch.tv/lifecast. We should have our schedule there.
We're not doing schedules anymore. I don't think.
No, I think we're just kind of streaming whenever we're free.
Yeah.
And like posting about it on Twitter.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so check Twitter for updates.
Yeah, check Twitter for updates on that one. And naturally, you can find all of this sort of things on our website, just known as thelifecast.net. If you have any questions, you can send it to in our Discord, or you can email to us at questions@thelifecast.net.
Yeah, if you want us to read them on the podcast.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, if you want us to.
I usually don't clarify for that, but.
Yeah, if you got any questions, ask us so we can answer them live on the internet. Yeah, that's where you send them, questions@thelifecast.net. And if you want to get to our Discord, the link for that is discord.lifecast.zone. And this has been the LifeCast. I hope you enjoyed listening. I was totally going to think of an outro, but I couldn't think of one. Our throat to your throat.
Our throat to your throat.
From our brain to your headphones.
From our vocal cords to
bye.
Fight hard, love harder.
Bye.
Oh, I like that one.
Bye.